Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 0-2 delivery, swinging a high drive, deep right field, way back. That ball is long gone, and that one reaches Elgin Street.
Caglione shoots it to left field. Rosario chasing it. He looks up, and that carries into the bullpen. Jack Caglione hits his 7th home run of the season.
Sent to left field again. Looping towards the wall on the warning track. It's gone. Jack Caglione. 2-home-run game.
We need this guy in Kansas City right now, dog. This dude is straight up dominating the minor leagues right now.
Swing and a high fly ball deep to right field. Mettlinger back. He's out of room. It sails on to the roof of the training facility. And Jack Caglione wins this battle of future big leaguers.
You know, it's lefty with some of the biggest power in the game. Giancarlo Stanton in his prime, that's kind of what that could be.
Cag sends a line drive, a rocket out to right, and that one's out of here. The first Triple-A home run for the Royals' top prospect.
He's like a slightly bigger version of Shohei.
The Royals trying to find their way in the Central. I have the numbers right here, John. 13 home runs ranks last among all teams. Enter Jack Caglione. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. You see that guy, you think,
right.
We need him now.
When you get on the charter tomorrow night and go with him. Thank you.
Great. Today's that day for Jack Caglione, his big league debut here in St. Louis. It's Cody and Gold. We are broadcasting live down I-70. We made it here last night.
We're only like 5 minutes from the stadium right now.
Yeah, we're pretty close to the
jog
stadium.
Jog over.
We will be doing that after the show. We'll be going over to watch some BP. We'll be talking to Cags. Follow our social media channels on 96.5 The Fan for that. Plus, I'm sure we'll send some of that back, and maybe CDOT will use some of that this afternoon on his show, if he would like. Of course, first pitch, 6:45. Some of you may be wondering about the weather. Heck, Dusty was texting us this morning. Hey, what's the weather look like? I know back in KC, it's been storming all morning. It's not here at all. Based off of the meteorologists in the building here at KMOX, which is where we're broadcasting from, it sounds like they expect it to break up before it gets to St. Louis. And if it rains, it's going to be much later in the evening. So I believe that is not going to be a problem. We're expected to be good to go tonight here at Busch Stadium and watch Cags and the Royals, and hopefully maybe a new look lineup. As if you're just joining us, we'll play some of that back from JJ Piccolo. I thought he had some really interesting things to say, not only about Cags, but also how they plan on utilizing him in the lineup early
on. And not wanting to waste a pitching staff, which I thought was a really important point.
Yeah, they recognize that they can't waste this pitching staff that they have right
now. It's true, though. Gold, come on. We all look at the same thing. How often are you going to be able to repeat this level of pitching? They've given up like 200 runs in 60-plus starts this year. It's so incredibly low. They got the second best last I looked? Team ERA in all of baseball? First best? I don't know. And
second, I think, yeah.
They went without their number one and number two starters for 2 weeks. Two full start rotations for guys who finished in the top five of the Cy Young Award. It's third, by the way, 3.13.
Okay.
Right now, Giants and Mets, the only two teams with a better one. And they finish, like, and they haven't even skipped a beat. Like, Noah Kammer's just come in and gone 6 1/3 every time he rolls in and gives up one or zero runs. Chris Bubich has the sixth best odds, probably should have the first best odds or second best odds if it were name value for the Cy Young right now. I mean, it's everything. All the pitching staff. Why burn it? If one more run a game would win you 2 out of 3 instead of lose 2 out of 3, which I think is what would have happened this weekend against Detroit, well, then why wouldn't you find a guy who, hypothetically, can hit the ball over the fence for the team dead last in Major League Baseball and home runs? It's like the thing they need the most. That's what I come back to Cags, and we talked about 2 weeks ago. Their biggest gap, Gold, is a person who can hit home runs for power. Like, that's it. And so, like, okay, there he is in AAA. Problem solved.
Yeah, before we get into expectations and what you guys would view as a successful rookie season, you kind of alluded to it there, so let's get right into it. The offense improvement. Will the offense improve moving forward, and do we expect, you know, a big shift at this point in time? It's not so much, do I think Cags on his own is going to change a whole lot with the actual offense production? Not with his just direct, you know, him
sure,
directly.
Not just him himself single-handedly carrying the offense.
His presence and what it allows you to maybe do with other spots in the lineup, perhaps. But I still think, man, I still think it's coming down to whether or not Salvador Perez can get to 85% of what he was 80% last year, because he's not anywhere near that even. Can Salvador Perez hold off Father Time for another couple months and get back to where he was at all, a percentage of that last year? Can Jonathan India, and maybe a different role, if in fact that's what happens, we'll see, if in fact he's batting further down the order and not leading off, can that get him going? Can you, a guy that was fifth in walks in baseball last year, he's not pacing for that at all. Can he get back into that world? And Caglione can allow them to make some of these moves, but I don't know if that is going to be just solely because Jack's going to be hitting 280 and 25 home runs. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's going to be that necessarily.
Whether you're a big leaguer already or you're coming up to the big leagues, we undersell, I think, a lot of times confidence. And if Jack Caglione comes up today and the Royals score 9 runs, I would go back to and still point out, Gold, that last year, these are the same players on what was a league average offense last year. I'm not saying a great power hitting team last year. They weren't that. But they were a league average offense, Gold, between Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, Michael. And Michael wouldn't even have a good year last year. Isbell, like, these are the same players who are a part of an offense that wasn't dead last in the league. So, like, if they can catch a little confidence, I do think there's something to that. And the fact that they are willing to... So, like, they've pushed all the buttons they can so far. Come on, Lofton, come on up, rave. Other than, like, maybe Cam Devaney and now Jack Caglione, who will start for the Royals tonight, most likely. JJ made it sound like he's going to DH tonight and hit fifth or sixth. This was, like, the last trigger pull other than the other things he's talking about doing, which is, all right, you know what? We wanted to make sure Michael Garcia really was a changed hitter. I'm kind of anticipating him either tonight, tomorrow, the next couple of days, being near the top of the lineup and them officially making that chip between, yeah, you expected Jonathan India to be your leadoff hitter, and because Michael Garcia couldn't develop into that last year, you felt the need to go get it. But the better leadoff hitter right now is Michael Garcia.
No,
the better hitter
be.
Right
be.
Now yeah. is Michael Garcia. And so, like, you don't have to, like, expectations or hope or one thing versus actual performance on the baseball field, and right now it doesn't seem crazy to me to start flipping guys.
Yeah, and look, we're all excited for tonight and over the next couple of days and everything like that, but I will still say that there is still the reality at some point that, you know, is they don't still, to even with this working, even the lineup change, I still don't think they have enough there. That's where it gets in. Can Caglione's presence get to a point where there's still multiple games above 500 closer to the trade deadline to where they can go and then still find more help? Because you're right, they've exhausted just about every internal option other than, do they make a decision at some point on Massey and Cam Devaney? We'll see, right? This seems like it's the... It sure feels like this is the final week-ish of if you're Michael Massey trying to get going. Otherwise, it might be a situation where they move on. I think they've been very patient with him.
He's hit better the last, 15 games, 16 games?
A little bit, yeah.
And honestly, you want to know the truth? You want to know what saved him, Gold? When they were making the decision to send down Dairon Blanco, or the decisions on, let's say, Devaney or Kay, or any of these others, what saved Michael Massey is that he's had a good couple of weeks. So it's like, hey, you got to perform better, time to perform better, or, you know, like, you've seen the moves we've made amongst the other players in the lineup. If you don't want to be a part of the group that's, you know, and MJ Melendez hit really well the last 2 weeks in AAA.
Right.
If you don't want to be a part of that group, well, then I would suggest to start hitting. And look, he's 0 for his last 7 or whatever. Two bad games is not going to really, that's not going to sway me. I know what he's done this year. And like, to your point, I don't want to care about his exit velocity in the course of the season. What I care, like, it is a what have you done for me lately part for the guys who have been struggling in this lineup. And yeah, I'm kind of curious what they do next, how they handle their lineup going forward. The other part, and like again, I don't think that Jack Caglione is the savior. I don't think he's just going to come in and all of a sudden this is the
second best
offense
in baseball. But you understand why, I'm not saying every single fan, but you understand why that's the feeling amongst a good chunk of the fan base, right? And we'll, you know, depending on what he does tonight, it could potentially fuel the flames even more, right? If he goes out and has a really special debut.
Hasn't had any trouble. He's hit a home run in his Omaha debut. Didn't he hit a homer?
Yes. Yeah, I believe, well, he had 5 in his first week or whatever it was. So my guess is yes. So I want to be careful with that, but he is definitely part of the solution. Yeah. I don't know if he is the solution to this year's offensive struggles. He's part of that fix. He definitely doesn't hurt. That's for sure. And you got to get some pop. Got to get some pop no matter what the average is. You just have to have a real threat to get one out of the yard and, you know, hopefully have a guy on base when he does it as well.
Yeah, and that's the other part. And I think this is like, I was looking at it because they're again, one of the worst teams in baseball with runners in scoring position. And in the early part of the season, they're not 1-2 or 2-3 now, but they're still pretty high up there. Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez had two of the most at-bats in that spot. So, like, there were people getting on base in front of them. But what I'm coming to realize is they haven't had nearly enough at-bats where they get a couple of cracks with runners in scoring position, where they have a chance to hit 500. Every time I feel like they got a guy in second or third, it's two outs. And I know that's not every time, but they're running into that more often than not, which is relying on, we have to get the hit. We can't rely on a sac fly. We can't rely on a ground ball that scores a guy. Like, the more you look at it, they're just not having nearly enough runners on base. And that goes back to some of their initial issues, which is they don't get on base enough. That's easily the thing I'm most interested in Jack Caglione transition to the big leagues is. For a guy that can hit the ball a mile, but also history suggests he will chase pitches outside the zone.
Yeah.
How much will he walk? Because he should be a walk guy. You would think logically teams should want to be careful with Jack Caglione. But, you know, will he walk, I guess, is a big part I don't know.
Other than their offensive situation, one of the things J.J. Piccolo had mentioned to us is that they thought in the last week in AAA that, you know, he was walking a little bit more. You know, I referenced even just the one at-bat that I thought was impressive on Friday night in Omaha where he was down 0-2 in that count. And he was able to work a walk out of it. That's one at-bat, but his at-bat, two at-bats earlier, he had a home run. So he had a home run in that game. He struck out once in that game, and he walked. You know, that's...
Three outcomes. Fine with me. Yeah, as long as he's getting the other two outcomes.
That's right. That's exactly right. I want to ask you guys on the text line, because I know everybody has their own idea of what they will view as a success. Because, as we all know, the hype is off the charts for this kid. And it should be. What match is that for you? And what would you consider when we get to the end of September and October? Hey, that was a really good rookie season, or that was a disappointing rookie season. What does it look
like? Real number, right? Not me just joking around and saying he's going to hit 70 or 80 homers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Let's try to be somewhat reasonable. Somewhat.
Okay.
913-586.
They can be optimistic.
Oh, for sure.
With an actual...
Yeah. Don't tell me he's going to hit 50 homers, okay? You know what I mean?
And hit 350 with a 475 on base
But if
percentage.
You want to say he's hitting X, you know, let's just be somewhat reasonable.
Sure.
We can still be very... optimistic, though, if you would like. But 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Let us know, what would you consider success? Because for me, I wanted to look back in Royals history a little bit and what rookies had done. And some of them had started full seasons. Remember, he's joining here on June 3rd, so he's not getting a .162. Nope. He's going to be playing less than that. But 23 home runs would set the Royals rookie record.
I mean, he's not getting 23, is he?
I think Bo Jackson had 22. If you're telling me a great rookie campaign, it's that he breaks the record. He doesn't even have to win Rookie of the Year or anything, but he just breaks. You know, if he hits 23, he might, right? But
he just breaks the Royals.
The Royals rookie record for home runs, even if he's hitting 240, that is a great rookie / half season, right?
Okay.
All right, progress. Like, okay, I can see there would be he hits 15 home runs and he hits like 240, right? And I think that's, by the way, my most reasoned expectation is 240, 20 home runs.
Okay.
And that, I don't think that's crazy. I also think that's being still fairly optimistic.
Okay, what I would consider a successful season for, like, I'm really happy, Jack Caglione, only growth is possible at this point, watch the man go. And I did look it up. I don't know if it counted enough. Bob Hamlin might technically have the record. He had 24 in.
I thought Hamlin and Bo Jackson both had 22 as rookies. Maybe
Hamlin had 24. Not that it really matters, but okay. It's about the same number. Okay. Bob the Hammer Hamlin, who I watched once had a home run off of the foul pole at Kauffman Stadium, had 24 in 101 games. He'd played 16 the year before, so I don't really technically know if he'd played enough games to not qualify as a rookie. But the point is, look, 260 with a 325 on base percentage and 20 homers. I mean, if I got that. That is a far. That's like Soler at the end of his like run in Kansas City when he's putting up some good numbers. Not putting up the 50 home run season or whatever, but putting up some good numbers. That would be a huge boost to this lineup. I'd be thrilled, honestly thrilled.
Well, I would
if
hope.
He hit 260 with a 325 on base and 20 homers. Like, I might be thrilled if it's 15.
Yeah,
if it's 15, I might be okay. Yeah, if with those averaging that on base percentage.
If he did that, of course you'd be thrilled. Now, what about on the flip side? Is there a number or scenario where you'd be like, oh, I'm a little worried? Nobody's concerned that he's not going to be a big leaguer for his career. Nobody's concerned that he can't hit the ball out of the park. But
anything under double digit home runs and hitting under 220 immediately becomes a concern.
Yeah, like if his first year was 215 and like 9 homers,
I don't love that.
You'd be a little concerned about the bigger picture stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to bail on the whole thing and just say he's got no chance of being successful, but those like that threshold, that 220 less than double-digit homers, is when I'm like, because I know that that's going to come with strikeouts, Gold. I know that's going to come with some of the issues that like are the concerns for any player, right, going into it.
Right. A couple of people on the text line, their view of what would be successful for Cags here in his first year, 250, 20 homers, 50 RBIs. That comes from the 913. Someone else said 25 homers, 60 RBI, 274 average. Well, that would be, he might be rookie of the year. He would be rookie of the year at that point.
I'll take it.
Yeah, look, that's rookie of the year stuff right there.
Look, I mean, I'd be thrilled with the numbers I gave you. If he did anything above that, I'm going to be talking superstar stuff. I'm going to start thinking he is Pete Alonso, not just looks like the left-handed Pete Alonso. I'm going to start talking myself all the way into it if he does that.
So it sounds like if I set the over-under at 17.5 home runs, who's taking the under?
I mean, I have to take the under, right? Don't I? How many games are left? Like 100?
Mm-hmm. Like 102, 103, something like that. Over under 17.5. I think
he could lead the league in homers one day, but I don't think I don't think he's going to hit more than 17. Look, he's going to have to be one of the 10 best home run hitters in baseball for the last 3 months. And I'm not there yet. I don't want to get runaway expectations for Jack Caglione, I guess. I'm ready for reasonable, but like, I'm not trying to let them just like take off.
Vinny could get hot, but right now I believe Vinny's pacing for 23 or 24.
Yeah,
I think
ish. It might have gone down since then. Maybe it's 2021. 22.
So the question is,
oh man, do you think he leads the team in
homers? Is there a chance that Cags catches Vinny's home run number?
It's non-zero. I mean, it's the only three people who are going to lead this team in home runs this year are Vinny Pasquantino, Bobby Witt Jr., who we know can rip off as many as anybody and led the team in homers last year. All right. I think Jack Caglione, unless I think Salvi's getting hot. He's obviously had a 48 home run season.
Who else is it going to be this year? I mean,
you think there's a chance Jack leads this team in homers? Well, that's the dream. If you tell me that at the end of the season, the rest of the numbers almost don't matter.
I think there's a 10% chance.
I don't think it's out of the question.
I think there's a 10% chance when it's done that Vinny ends up with like 26 home runs and Cags is pushing him. At least pushing him.
Look, I'm interested in that result.
And for those of you listening, you're like, oh, this is crazy stuff. Look, I also think we can play the Buster Olney cut, too. Buster Olney, J.J. Cooper, J.J. Piccolo, the general manager of the team, Jim Callis, the comps that everybody, and you can call it groupthink if you want. I think it's groupthink because everybody knows he's got power. Like, groupthink is something that can be dangerous, but when we're talking about, hey, what does everybody pretty much guarantee that he's going to do because of his skill set, and that is hit home runs. And so if we're just talking about pure power, everybody acknowledges, like, yeah, the power is on the level of Judge. It doesn't mean he's going to be Aaron Judge. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying he will be Aaron Judge. But
saying he's
power
got that
wise,
power.
Him, Otani, it's honestly, Otani, Judge, and maybe Caglione might be the three guys in the big leagues that can destroy a baseball the way those guys can, right? Like that might be the list. It doesn't mean he's going to be those guys, but that is the power he has. And if you think he has that power, and even if he's playing at the K, 20 plus home runs in 102 games or whatever is not absurd. Now, is it? Would it be incredible? Sure, but it is not like you're talking about just a random prospect with above average power, and you're trying to sit here and say he's going to hit 20 plus home runs.
Like, I'm just kind of going back through and seeing where it was, because like, this is the interesting part to me. Like, what was Aaron Judge thought of when he was coming up in the bigs? Was he was a first round pick, 32nd overall by the Yankees. He was at times in the top 10 of Baseball America's top 10 prospect rankings. He got up to the number one prospect, number two prospect for the New York Yankees. That's Jack Caglione. I'm not saying, again, I'm not telling you either, Goldie's going to turn into Aaron Judge. But that is his, I'm not kidding, that is his ceiling. That's at least, maybe not Aaron Judge, he might be the best right-handed hitter. His ceiling maybe is Pete Alonso. How about that? His ceiling is one of the premier power hitters in baseball. Fine, not Judge, but pretty much anywhere sub of that, right? The Stanton comparisons, the Alonso comparisons, the guys who we talk about as being feared hitters in baseball, he can do that at his absolute max. But I don't put that on him for this year or for the next couple of years for the same reason, Gold, you and I remember specifically having this conversation with listeners about Bobby Wood Jr. after his rookie year. And everyone was like, why can't he just do what's the really good player in Seattle's name?
Julio?
Julio Rodriguez. Why can't he just be Julio Rodriguez? just crying that he wasn't turning into that player. And they didn't understand why he wasn't him his rookie year. Now the better player, and I'm not saying Julio Rodriguez is a bad player, but there's no argument about who the better player in baseball is. That's Bobby Witt Jr. And so, like, this season's not going to tell us everything about Jack Caglione.
No, the
it's just
comparisons,
can he help him now? He makes an improvement on the thing, and, like, the real power, there's no doubt about the power. That's just a real thing.
Of the overall career comparison, when someone says Alonso or any of these other names, that's not something that's going to potentially be fully realized in the next 2 months or three months.
Unless he gets 25 homers in the next 100 games, yeah.
The power stuff, that is immediate. Just strictly power. Not talking about chase rate. Not from a pure power perspective. That is there. He's already on that level.
Yeah, he's already one of the five hardest hitting players probably in baseball.
Yeah, but he has to put it all together for him to obviously be the type of player that everybody hopes he's going to be. And it starts tonight. We'll go through some bets. There are a ton of betting options tonight. Now, we unfortunately are in St. Louis where you cannot bet. As you guys know, the state of Missouri does not have legal sports wagering. Now, we're like 15 minutes to Illinois if you really need to go bet, Cody. But
I'm going to go make a selection, at least an underdog. But, make a lineup.
Yeah, but you cannot do sports wagering, obviously, in Missouri. But we've got a list of like 10 different bets for CAGs tonight. Not just anytime home run, but total bases. There's even a prop for a stolen base tonight. That would seem a little...
That seems
crazy, but you never
unlikely.
Know. You never know. You never know, but I would be a little surprised.
Just amped up in his debut, and all of a sudden he's feeling like swiping bags.
Yeah, I'd be a little surprised, but you never know. Coming up next, though, we work in the Trash of the Day a little bit later. We ran late there, obviously talking about CAGs. We'll get to Trash of the Day a little bit later, but let's talk a little Chiefs Red Half Hour and the names that already exist at the top here in Kansas City. Could a third join them? That's coming up right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
We are back here in St. Louis, broadcasting live, we think, from KMOX. Didn't hear any music there. I think this is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, though, if we're doing our normal thing. Sometimes, look, when you broadcast on the road, things don't always go as smoothly, but we appreciate you guys hanging with us. Thank you, Drew.
Did he say we're okay?
He said we're on. We didn't hear any of the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We're okay. On. We are on, baby.
The Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Wait, we just didn't hear the sound at all?
Correct.
But he played it.
I did. I played it.
Well, I don't know how any of this
works.
That's
weird, man. Didn't hear anything.
Okay. Look, it's a mystery to all of us, you know? But the point is, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. The little bit of cheese content you get today, because I'll be honest, it's Jack Caglione's debut day, and we drove all the way to St. Louis last night to witness it and to bring you the content throughout the day. Means we're going to kind of cool it a little bit. But you were already trying to Mount Rushmore this thing. I saw an article about the KC Star that they asked, what was it, Tom Watson and who else? George Brett.
Yes, they did.
Like advice, essentially, for Jack Caglione. And I think that probably had you thinking a little bit about Bobby and Mahomes, didn't it?
Well, yeah, because look, I'm not saying he's on this level, but we all know Mahomes burst on the scenes in Kansas City. Obviously, Bobby Witt Jr., became very quickly the faces of Kansas City sports and both younger athletes in Kansas City. Jack Caglione is only 22 years old. I'm not saying he is accomplished what they have by any means, but he's the next guy that has any chance to join them and become a trio of athletes that reside in Kansas City that are superstars. Okay? That's what he's the only other person that has a chance to join that group. He's it. Like, we can talk about the Chiefs, like, oh, I hope Worthy has
Travis Kelce because of the Taylor stuff.
But no, like, Travis Kelce is a superstar, but I'm talking about guys that are gonna at this point in time, you know, Mahomes, I guess, just turns 30, but this was all, like, hey, you're talking about young faces of their respective sports.
Sure.
And based in Kansas City. In the NFL, you can be the biggest star in the league based in Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes. Bobby Witt Jr., you know, is a superstar. Maybe he doesn't have the flashy personality that somebody else would. If he did, he would be everywhere, like, everywhere. That's just not his personality, and that's fine. Jack Caglione has the personality. The question will be, can he get his performance to a level where he is a household name? I'll just tell you this. Like, it is crazy. He has not played a game in the big leagues yet. I was doing a radio hit this morning on our Odyssey's betting network just to talk about Cags' debut. We've had other debuts for players. We've never had it to that level. And it's because, you know what? The cliche, chicks dig the long ball. That's why everybody loves the home runs. It's something that we can all gravitate towards. He's got a chance to provide that to the casual fan, not just in Kansas City, and I think he will bring fans in, but he's got a chance, if you're a sports fan in New York, you're like, oh yeah, that Cags guy that just destroys baseballs and hits them for 450 feet in his first 2 weeks in the big leagues, he's got blank home runs. Like, if that happens, he has a chance to be in that company in terms of name recognition outside of Kansas City.
Yeah, he does. I mean, Travis Kelce's the only other guy that has it right now, but some of it is because of, and it's coming towards the end of his career. He was already one of the most famous football players, but, you know, it's still Kansas City. You're a tight end, not a quarterback, all the other stuff. Now the Taylor Swift stuff is taking it out of control.
Yeah.
Not out of control, just, you know, like to the level that some of those guys get nationally in the attention department. But yeah, I mean, look, the Cags thing, the homer is why I told you I thought he had a chance for rookie of the year. Or let's say next year. Let's not put it on him for this year. Let's say next year they invite Jack Caglione to participate in the home run derby.
Yes, yes.
And I'll point out that they put guys like Pete Alonso in the home run derby as rookies. Now, they started the season in the bigs and were already crushing a lot of home runs. His timetable's a lot harder in
that
department.
He would have to have an absurd number in the first month.
If he had a Josh Hamilton-like home run derby, just imagine where this conversation would be then. If he just starts putting, you remember when he did that and he was putting the balls at old Yankee Stadium where you're like, I didn't even think baseballs went there. That is, again, the kind of power that Jack Caglione possesses. It's interesting because I'm curious. We'll talk to him today, obviously, I think, you know, either in a larger press setting, most likely, right? Either at a podium or at his locker. What it's got to be like to be 22 years old and have Patrick Mahomes constantly tweeting about you. And look, he's a sports fan, so he tweets about a lot of people. I'm not saying that.
And he's part owner of the Royals.
He tweets about Texas Tech softball a lot, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that's also cool for them. But it's like, to be Jack Caglione and like Patrick Mahomes to be aware of you seems cool. Do you remember, like, even it was maybe 2 years ago, year and a half, right around the time Vinny was, like, coming into his own as a big leaguer. we'd asked him, we said, do you think Patrick Mahomes knows who you are? And he's like, no. Like, are you sure? Are you sure he's got no? No, he definitely does, right? He follows the team well enough. He absolutely knows who Vinny Pasquantino is. Playoff run last year, all the other stuff, right? He definitely knows who he is. Not, I mean, they're boys, but he, you know, like, yeah. He knows who he is. But like a couple of years ago, that's not even a question for Jack Caglione. But in order to do a gold, he's got to be, I think he has to lead the league in homers. I think he has to finish top three in an MVP. He has the best chance to do it out of any KC athlete.
That's what I'm saying.
Currently alive.
Yeah.
Other than the guys who, Bobby, Mahomes, and I would toss in Travis Kelce. But other than...
But Kelce's, you know, those. I mean, yeah, the reason why I don't throw him in this conversation is because he's already a Hall of Famer. And
it's
he's
not for
got
his
year,
current active athletic ability.
Yeah, and he's got a year left or 2 years left or something. You know, it's for this conversation in terms of Kansas City...
We're talking running the show for a while, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, it would take a stage like the Derby and something else. But home runs... is what grabs headlines. It just does. I mean, it's the same way why people gravitate towards the crazy highlight plays from a quarterback in the league. The same reason why 25 years from now, kids that are growing up are going to watch a Tom Brady highlight and be like, that guy was the best ever? But then they're going to watch a highlight of Mahomes or Lamar and be like, oh, no, that dude's way better than him. I'm not saying that's right, but that people like to visually... There's things that are easy to see, right? Home runs are easy to see and be
consume
like...
consume and understand,
versus,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just the reality. Like, we can look at batting averages all we want, and we, wow, that guy hit 330 for X amount of year, or hit 300 for five straight years, whatever, which is incredible accomplishments. You're going to be a Hall of Famer. But people will remember the guy that hits an absurd amount of home runs. And that will be something, and that's why people have already gravitated towards Cags. I'm truly talking about outside of Kansas City. I know you guys listening in KC already are on that level with Cags to a certain extent, at least with expectation and excitement. But I have not seen, and certainly since I, and look, not in Kansas City, but since I've been doing radio, and I guess at this point it's been 13 years, 12 years, whatever. And you
that
heard the same, Cody.
We started in radio about the same time.
And I don't remember a call-up for a player, and maybe it's just because of social media now has grown more and more, but I don't remember a call-up. Like, Bobby Wood Jr. was on the opening roster. It wasn't a call-up. I'm talking about a call-up. I haven't seen a call-up to have this level of true excitement. Like, there's
Haas
been,
is the closest.
Yeah.
Not in the time you and I have been doing radio. Right. Certainly not the time we've been doing radio in Kansas City.
Other teams
Haas
have big
closest.
Prospects. Like, I can think, I remember I knew the day when Jackson Holliday for the Orioles got called up, and he hasn't lived up to his expectation yet. We'll see what he ends up being. But I don't remember having betting shows talking about a player being called up before. Seriously. You can remember a betting show only on a national level talking about a minor league player getting called up? That doesn't happen. It only happens because that's how ridiculous his power is.
Again, not so greedy to think that I need more than that. The fact that we already have the best quarterback the best football player on the planet, and one of the three best, I think, inarguably, baseball players on the planet. And I would say overall baseball player the best. I think Aaron Judge is a better hitter.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bobby Jr. does everything, so he's a better overall player. But, you know, that's relative. People like offense, and this goes back to the same thing. Bobby Jr. can be a better overall player, but if Jack Caglione is a 35 to 50 home run hitter every year, people are going to remember him a lot as he puts the ball over the fence a lot. If that becomes part of kind of his nomenclature, it is kind of, it always goes back to the same thing. You hate to be like Adam Sandler and Billy Madison constantly to kids, where you're just like, do you understand what you have? Alex and I grew up in the 90s and the 2000s. The best you could hang your hat on was the two seasons Joe Montana showed up. And I don't know, that one Zach Greinke here or Carlos Beltran and all that, all of the Royals fandom when I was a kid, came with this massive cloud of like, well, they're not going to be a Royal for long. I don't know how many years of this I'll get to enjoy. Bobby Wood Jr. signed a long-term contract here.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about those things right now. I'm just thinking about winning, getting back to the playoffs, doing those things. So, like, I'm not greedy to get more out of that of Jack. But, yeah, I mean, again, the star power part of it is very obvious. And just from a personality perspective, he definitely could kind of thrust himself into that.
Right, and I'm trying not to get stuck in the moment of a recency bias and all this, but I think knowing where sports are at now in Kansas City, we've seen the Royals win a championship in the last 15 years. We obviously have seen the Chiefs win multiple rings in the last 15 years. And I understand Hosmer is probably the answer for a lot of people in terms of the biggest call-up that this rivals. And I totally get that. That's the first one that comes to mind, too. But the difference in why this one feels bigger, this is a team coming off a playoff appearance. This is a team that has expectations to go and win a division. That wasn't the case in 13 and 14. Obviously, in 15, they had come off a World Series appearance. But Haas was called up before they were coming off a playoff appearance. So I view that a little bit differently in terms of the excitement around this, the expectation, the buildup. How we are, I think our expectations as sports fans in Kansas City are different today as a whole compared to what they were in 2013 because of, of the success in championships that have been won. Prior to that, as you said, Cody, and you and both of our lifetimes, neither one of us had seen one of these teams win a championship. So I just think we now are more critical. The bar is higher for everybody, for the for these organizations than ever before. And with that, when you have a player of this caliber that's a top 10 prospect in all of baseball that is known for hitting with the power that he has, the expectation, the excitement is greater. It just
it's
is.
It's so weird, like pre-Mahomes sports fandom. And you had Kansas and, you know, like other people had like teams they cheer for that won.
That's right.
But like, do you know how psyched I was just in like 2003 to be a Royals fan? They won like 83 games and didn't even make the playoffs. And I had so much fun that summer going to the K, watching the Royals just because Lima time. And they were like, they were relevant. They didn't even make the playoffs. I was just happy they were relevant. And last year, because it had been a while for the Royals to compete, I was happy that they were relevant. And but like when the Royals won, really start with the Royals, when the Royals went to back-to-back World Series and then won it, the shift of like, oh, no, I want real things. I thought this whole time I was fine being like essentially a college football fan and I bragged about how many 8-4 seasons I've had. No. I want real things. I want championships. I want appearances in World Series. I want them to be tangible. And yeah, I think Jack Caglione in a season where you made the playoffs the year before and all that stuff, and then Mahomes and the expectations he put on sports fandom in this city completely changed things.
Yeah, and like it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour, so let's tie it back to Mahomes for a second. You mentioned his name. I think because of the way baseball is set up, and you had mentioned this maybe in passing yesterday, you know that Mahomes, we all know what he ended up being and what he is. We were excited when he got his first chance to be the starting quarterback of the Chiefs. But even that was not this. It was not the same feeling on day one.
Debuts are not the same.
It's not the same feeling. You might have thought Mahomes was going to be great his first outing, and we all had that moment, whether it was the Broncos game or Niners game, where you're like, he's that
lefty
dude.
Pass. And you're like, oh,
but you had to wait for that. Now maybe you say you should say that's what it should be, and Jack should have to go prove it before that. We're putting the cart before the horse.
That's not how baseball does it.
But that's just not how baseball works.
No, I love that baseball gets that uniquely. Football is, you're just a football player, and if you're picked high, you're expected to play, and if you're a quarterback who's sitting for a little while, you're sent for a little while. It does make me think. So Arrowhead Pride, they had an article up yesterday, day before, and they were talking about some of the like the underrated players on the team for the Chiefs, and it made me start thinking about them from like a bigger perspective. Let's take this out of the superstars in like Bobby Wood Jr., Patrick Mahomes, national impact, but like what we consider to be a star in the NFL level. We know who the Chiefs stars are. They have been Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones. I personally, and if somebody wants to argue, I'll listen, I would put Trent McDuffie in that regard. And I think he is one of the two best players at his position in the sport and across the sport. Everyone respects him as one of the better defensive players in the league. But if it's not those, so let's leave out Trent McDuffie for now because I'm putting him in that category. Who is the guy who's most likely to be the next star-level player in the NFL? Do I have to go to the rookies? Do I have to go Josh Simmons and just take all upside? Do I have to go Smith and go all upside at running back? George Karloftis?
There's nobody in the backfield.
Like, I mean, I'm curious what everyone thinks the answer is, 913-586-7965, because I think George might actually be my answer. He takes one more half step forward in a contract year, Gold, and he goes to 12 to 14 sacks. And I understand he's got an option year. So it's not technically a contract year, but he'd be looking for an extension. 12 to 14 sacks, 13 to 15 sacks. Considering where he was picked in the first round, considering the team he plays for, I think he's got the best shot of doing it because he could immediately ring himself in there. At left tackle, you better be one of the three best left tackles. They better talk about your ass like you're Trent Williams or Penei Sewell. And that's it, Gold. Those are the only ones I'm going to mention here. If you're gonna, you better join that category if you're going to be like a star at that position.
The only left tackles that are household names are like the top three in the sport. That's it.
Is there a third besides the two I mentioned right now? Maybe three at the best moment.
That's it. Like, that's just how that position works. So I don't think you can say that, even if you think Simmons is going to be great. Karlaftis, it requires him, taking the leap, Cody, to being a 12 or 13 sack guy for him to become a household star type of name. Also, if that happens, he's about to get a massive contract, and I'll be interested to see what they would plan on doing long-term with him and whether or not he's someone that they actually get a long-term deal done with. For me, I'll go to the wide receiver room, though. I'll stay away from the backfield. I don't think that exists there, unfortunately. The wide receiver room, based off of just what we saw in a glimpse of it, Rashee Rice. Now, that requires him, of course.
I wasn't sure if you're going to say him or Worthy on Twitch. Why not said Worthy?
Yeah, I think it's Rice. I think he's the more complete package. Now, it requires Rice, of course, staying out of trouble. It requires him staying healthy. All that has to take place. Is he going to get suspended this year? Is he not going to get suspended this year? But I think we were both convinced with the way he started last year, he was going to be a 1,400-yard receiver last year.
The way it was going, it was barreling for the Chiefs
with Patrick Mahomes. If you tell me you're a 1,400-yard receiver on a team that's got a chance every year to win a Super Bowl, that's how you take the next step to where you're on that level. Now, I'm not saying he's ever going to be in the category of Jefferson or Chase or no, that's not what I'm saying. But can he be viewed as a top 15 receiver in football one day? Maybe.
And then you are a wide receiver, kind of in that category.
That's
in
the
my
ceiling.
Opinion. If you're one of the 10 or 15 best wide receivers,
really?
You're a household name.
Yeah. Well, household name. Yeah. But I guess I have a, not to get into like tier stuff, but like I think even within that, there's subsets of it. Like I view, you know, Jefferson.
Like S tier in your mind.
Yeah,
Jefferson
and Chase
Jamar
are,
Chase, and like, I don't know, that might be it.
Those two in particular, but are I guess on a different level.
Sure, but if I'm saying that, then my answer is probably like no one on the roster, okay. Right? Like,
if I go that far,
it's like Rashee would be the only one who even had a chance. Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. I think he can be a top 15 wide receiver, which would make him a star.
Yeah,
Jamar
I agree.
Chase and Justin Jefferson are
superstar. I think that there's a difference. And I think that's, I did kind of intentionally choose my words, Gold, because if I had said superstar, I'm not even sure Trent McDuffie belongs in that conversation yet. Because, like, there's some part of, like, this, and some of it is, like, the reserved personality part, as silly as it is. Trent McDuffie is thoughtful and smart, and I always think, like, kind of quiet and, like, not a braggadocious player because he's such a good cover guy. He doesn't get 90 picks a year. He doesn't act the way like Marcus Peters acted or Jalen Ramsey or Sauce Gardner. Like, some of those players like have a bigger personality, Gold. And so like some part of being a superstar in a lot of ways also involves what you are going back to saying with Jack Caglione, right. You got to have that. But star level player.
McDuffie's already a star level player.
I agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I think he already deserves to be a part of that conversation. I think they got four. And I'll go ahead and lump Travis Kelce in there because he gets the legacy honor, at least for now. And we'll see what his statistical season brings this year. The backfield is the interesting one because you just be, it'd be Hail Mary.
No.
It's not a 0%
really?
For the seventh round guy,
I think,
but it's like 1%.
Because it's
running back, right? Running backs come out of nowhere, whatever, but it's like 1%, half a percent.
Yeah, running backs come out of nowhere and can be nice backs, but running backs usually don't come out of nowhere and become superstars or stars even, Cody. Like Isaiah Pacheco, really nice running back. I think he's going to have close to 1,000 yards. I think he'll get back to that. He'll be a 900-yard receiver.
But a running back, you better be.
Really nice receiver, running back. But look at the guys that were drafted this year, even. I'm not saying every single one's going to pan out, but you go and you look at a Hampton, Ashton Jeanty. Like, Ashton Jeanty can be a star or a superstar. He's a guy that might rush for 1,400 yards.
Yeah, an immediate household name. Running backs, they come and go, though.
Yeah.
Like, you get to be household name for, like, 48 months, and then maybe you're done, right? I mean, give or take, like you said with Ashton Jeanty, but like with Pacheco, if he gets 1,000 yards, well, he's just like a back. He's fine.
And Smith, I mean,
I said it's a half a percent.
If you
chance.
Told me Smith ended up over the next 3 years averaging nine, you know, just as that Pacheco 900, it's a huge win. It's a seventh round pick again.
Again, that's the weirdest part about
the ceiling is still low, in my opinion. That's all.
I agree, but I guess part of that is like I think Chiefs fans are a little blinded by the recent success that Brett Veach has had in the fourth rounds or later. And look, I'm not saying his hit rate's not going to be better. It is, clearly, because he's already better at hitting at those spots than most people. What they got out of Pacheco is a massive hit in the seventh round. Just what they've gotten so far.
Sure.
In the seventh round at running back, that's a massive hit. And so, like, if they even, yeah, like you said, if they got that level, fine. To assume that it has the potential to be better than that, I mean,
no, I can't get
like
there.
I said, 1% yeah. chance. I didn't say it's zero. Because I'm not crazy. And again, running backs come from lots of different locations. Although I'll point out recently,
I mean,
most of the star running backs in the league right now, where the hell were they taken? Derrick Henry was taken early. Saquon was taken early. Christian McCaffrey was taken early. A lot of the star running backs in the NFL right now, man, those dudes were taken like first round. Maybe second round if you want to lump in guys over the last few years like Jonathan Taylor or some others who have at some point been considered some of the best running backs in the league.
Like I like Bucky Irving, right? He was a fourth round pick. Yeah. But he's 1,100 yard like and he's a star back in the league, but he's not on the level, of course, as
the guys I just mentioned.
You just mentioned, and that's fine. Yeah. You don't have to be on that level, but it's just kind of interesting to follow
Gibbs it. Was taken really early. I mean, I don't. It's just like anymore. It seems like even if you love like Bijan had a great year. It's like even if you go back and look at that, some of the best fantasy running backs or some of the best running backs from last year. I mean, they were taken early. Getting production out of a 7th round pick at all is a win. The Chiefs would just do it so often. We just assume when they take this guy, and like it always goes back to the same thing. It's like if they loved him so much, I mean, think about all the other times they could have taken him. They let like 47 running backs come off the board. And they just knew that guy was going to be available.
That's all Puka
in the
Nakua
7th round. I struggle with that.
That's the Puka Nakua thing.
They thought he was
with
a fit,
the Rams,
but they didn't think he was going to be that.
Puka Nakua, the Rams. It was the 5th round, and they even passed on him twice in the 5th round, and then took him. So
that's
like this
crazy.
Purdy thing too. Like Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. Now he got a huge contract. The 49ers, like yeah, they liked him enough to take him in the 7th round, but acting like they knew he was going to be that. No, absolutely not. And that's fine. But like the 49ers did not think he could be something really, really special. Otherwise, he would have been drafted much higher. They would have made sure that nobody else had a chance to draft him.
Yeah. They would have taken him in the 1st round. If they knew what Puka Nakua was, he's a 1st round pick.
Yeah, he's a top,
second round
top
pick.
10 pick.
And by the way, if you don't think that teams value players different, therefore take them higher, I don't know what to tell you about the NFL draft. There are times in every year of the draft, and GMs will tell you this. Brett Veach has told me this to my face, and they would tell you to your face, too. They'll watch a guy come off gold in the 2nd round for a team. Be like, and the Raiders take Steve Smith. And he's like, it's just some guy. He's a defensive end. They're like, what? We had that guy in the 6th. They took him in the 2nd? I mean, okay. People value him differently. The Rams did not value Puka Nakua differently. Nobody thought he was going to be a star in the NFL. He is. Those success stories definitely do happen in the NFL, but they didn't value Smith so much that they're just like, this guy's an unstoppable monster, and then wait. And I understand they traded up, I guess, in the 7th round, but wait till the middle of the 7th round to make the move. Like, they liked him more, they would have moved up.
We are broadcasting in St. Louis, getting set for some Royals baseball, of course, in St. Louis with Jack Caglione making his debut here in a couple of hours. We're about an hour away from Dave Sampson, former Marlins team president, joining us. But up next, we'll get to what's trending. We want to talk more about what we expect from Cags, including what J.J. Piccolo had to say about how the organization decided now is the right time to call him up. That's coming up right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.